Turn in our Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And this morning we want to look at chapter 1, verse 1. Yes, thank you for opening those windows. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these moments that we have to reflect upon the infallible Word of God. We thank you for the Scriptures. We thank you for every portion of it. And Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would impress upon us the importance of this verse that we're going to look at this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For quite a few years, as we went through the book of Hebrews, I continually had to say, and the author said such and such, and we referred to the author without a name. He wasn't named. The first word in this book is Paul. It's the same in the original as well. There is no question as to the identity of its human author. It is the Apostle Paul. And that's what we want to look at this morning. Paul and his call as an apostle. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He identifies himself in seven different epistles by this very same title, Paul, an apostle. Sometimes he refers to himself as a prisoner of the Lord, sometimes a servant of the Lord. A couple of times he simply gives his name when he was writing to the Thessalonians, who knew him so well he didn't need the title. But in most of the epistles of the Apostle Paul, he identified himself as Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ. An apostle is one who is sent, one who is sent on a mission. It doesn't tell us anything about who sent him or what the mission was. The word apostle doesn't tell us that. But he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. In this sense, he was similar to an ambassador, one who is sent as a representative and one who is sent as a representative with authority. Now, the epistles tell us what the purpose of the apostles were. They were the foundation of the church. And upon their doctrine, upon the writings they left, the church was built. To the holy apostles and prophets were given the revelation of the mystery of the church. They were sent. Ephesians 4:11 tells us that the risen Christ sent apostles to establish the church and get it started. Paul had a high view of his office as an apostle. Turn to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11 and verse 13, Paul says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle of the Gentiles." And then he goes on to say, "I magnify mine office." Paul held the office of an apostle in the highest esteem. He magnified it. This was a marvelous, a great thing in the sight of Paul, the office that he held. Look what how he described it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the office of an apostle. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. "And God hath set some in the church," and notice the place of the apostles. First, the apostles. So they were in the number one position in the church. They had more authority than anyone, other than, of course, the glorified head. So Paul understood, in fact, he's the one that recorded for us the fact that God set the apostles in a preeminent position. They were set in the first place among human beings in the church. And Paul magnified the office. He held that office. And he held that in such high esteem. But notice, if you're in 1 Corinthians, turn to chapter 15.
Paul did not hold himself as a human being in high esteem.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 9, Paul says, "And I am the least of the apostles, and am not meet or fitting to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Paul never got over that fact, that he persecuted believers in Christ. He held the office of an apostle in highest esteem. He saw it as he knew that God put them first in the church. And yet when he looked at himself, he said that he was the least of the apostles. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 11, again, Paul gives us his concept of both the office of an apostle and also of his own personal position. He says, "I am become a fool in glorying. You have compelled me. For I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing I am behind the very chiefest of apostles." Paul knew that the apostles were chief in the church, but he goes on to say, "though I be nothing." Now we say this in light of the book of Colossians, because the point of the book of Colossians is that Christ is everything. Paul has to present himself to these folks as an authoritative apostle. But we need to understand what Paul meant by that. Paul knew that the office of apostle held great power and authority, and that it was to be considered first in the church, but he himself was nothing. Christ was everything to the apostle Paul. Turn back to 1 Corinthians, only this time to chapter 4.
How did the world view the position of an apostle? And this is telling for today. How does the world view the position of a leader in the church?
In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 9, Paul says, "For I think that God hath set forth us the apostles last." Wait a minute. He said earlier that he set forth the apostles first. Now he says last in the world, in the world's eye. As it were, appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle or a theater unto the world and to angels and men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. And he's speaking sarcastically to the Corinthians. He says, "We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even to this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. And we labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer. Being defamed, we entreat it. We are made as the filth of the world and the offscouring of all things unto this day." How does the world view one of God's chosen leaders? Well, here Paul tells us what the world thought of him. He was the filth of the world. He was the offscouring of all things. You know what an offscouring is? We'd use the word scum today. It's when you scrub something, it's that the remnants of scrubbing, the things that you scour off. So what a contrast we have here when it comes to how the office of an apostle is held. In God's eyes, it's first in the church. In Paul's eyes, it's first in the church. But he, the man who held that office, he saw himself as nothing, as undeserving of such a high title or position. And he also knew that in the world's sight, he was considered scum. When Paul introduced himself as an apostle to the Colossians, he knew that this wasn't going to make the average man in the city of Colossae stand up and applaud, not the folks in the world. You know, just a generation or so ago in this country, a minister of the gospel was held in high esteem.
In fact, in colonial days, he was held in the highest of esteem in the community. Today, it's getting closer and closer to the offscouring, at least the minister that believes God's word and teaches it. But Paul wasn't ashamed to be in that position the world viewed as the offscouring. He wasn't ashamed of Christ or the gospel or his ministry. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul says, or he introduces himself as Paul, an apostle, and he goes on to say, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul recognized that he was sent on a mission by Jesus Christ and him alone. He was the representative of the Lord Jesus. He had a message that came from the risen Savior, and he came carrying the full weight of divine authority because Jesus Christ sent him on this mission. Look in Acts chapter 9 again in verse 15. Here we see his call. Acts chapter 9 in verse 15. Paul says, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he, Paul, is a chosen vessel unto me." God chose Paul. And here's why. To bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Now, none of the other apostles were called in such a way. They weren't called to bear the name of Jesus Christ before the Gentiles. They were told, don't go anywhere near the Gentiles. They were called to the lost sheep of the house of Israel exclusively. But Paul's call was different. His ministry was different. He was a minister. He was an apostle sent by Jesus Christ to bear the name of Christ in all the world, to bear the name before the Gentiles and before kings. Other apostles were sent to proclaim his name in Israel. Paul was sent to bear his name before the whole world. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Paul introduces himself to the churches of Galatia in a similar fashion as he did to the folks in Colossae. He introduces himself as Paul, an apostle. But here he adds something else. He's an apostle not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. So Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was not an apostle of men. Now, this word of here uses two different prepositions. The first one, of, means of as a source. And he's saying here in verse 1 that Paul's apostleship was not sourced in men. They didn't pick him. They didn't choose him. Jesus Christ did. He didn't come from men with a message that he got from men to deliver. Rather, men were not the source of his message, his authority, or his commission. Jesus Christ was. Paul was not an apostle because the leaders at the church of Jerusalem decided he'd make a great preacher. Paul wasn't chosen because of some stellar performance in a preaching competition. You know, the Lord already dealt with that preaching competition sort of thing. You remember the apostles came to the Lord Jesus? Who's the greatest? Who's the best? And Jesus didn't say, well, let's have a competition and see who's the best and we'll give a prize to the winner. Rather, the Lord Jesus looked at those folks and he said, you're thinking just like the world. That's the way the Gentiles think. He said, he who strives to be the greatest in my sight will be last. Paul was not chosen to be an apostle because men thought he was talented or gifted. Paul was chosen to be an apostle because the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him and sent him as an apostle. His apostleship wasn't sourced in men. It was sourced in the Lord Jesus. And he also says in Galatians 1:1, neither was it by man. There's a different preposition. And this indicates that not only was his apostleship not sourced in them, God didn't even use men as a human instrument. His apostleship came directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. There were no men involved. Look in chapter 1 and verse 16.
Galatians 1:16. Paul says, "The Lord called him to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. And immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." He didn't go to the apostles to get permission. "Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. But rather the Lord sent him out into the Arabian desert." And there the risen Savior met with the apostle Paul and taught and instructed him and gave him marvelous revelation of the church. And so Paul's apostleship was not of men, neither was it by man, but it was by Jesus Christ. He was the agent. God called him by means of the person of Jesus Christ. Paul's apostleship was not of human origin, but it was divine, and Jesus Christ was the divine agent God used in calling him. And notice also here, not only was Jesus the human agent, but God the Father. We read that in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Jesus Christ, our Lord. So it was the Lord Jesus. He was sent by God the Father. And remember the Holy Spirit, too, in this formula. In Acts chapter 13, when the believers in Antioch were gathered together praying and teaching the Scriptures and asking God to give them wisdom and insight, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul," or Paul, "for the ministry whereunto I have called them." Paul was called to the ministry of an apostle by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It was not of human origin at all. And he makes this very clear. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And verse 9. "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am." Paul is speaking here about his call to the ministry as an apostle. And he says, "I'm not worthy, I'm not deserving, I persecuted the church." And he felt terrible about that. But he says, "I am what I am an apostle. Not because of my talent, not because I did great things for God." He was persecuting the church. He was called because of God's grace. God's unmerited, undeserved, unrecompensable favor. It had nothing to do with Paul or his talents or abilities. It had only to do with God's marvelous grace. Paul wasn't gifted and therefore chosen. Rather, Paul was a called apostle and therefore gifted. It was entirely God's doing, not of men, neither by men, but by the grace of God. And I think we'd do well to make application in our day and age. Paul's call was not of men. It wasn't sourced of men. It didn't come to him by means of men. The Lord did it. And while I don't think the Lord gives a supernatural call, he's not going to appear to a young man today. He's not going to hear audible voices from heaven. But anybody that is interested in going into the ministry, don't even think of it unless you are absolutely certain that this is God's will, that the Lord has done this, that God has directed, that God has inclined your mind and heart in this, that it's the Lord who has called you to do this and not pressure from men. Turn back to Galatians chapter 1 again. Galatians chapter 1. You know, if one's concept of a call to the ministry is, "Men called me, I went to school and I got a degree and therefore I'm a pastor because that's what my degree is in." If I think somehow that it was because of men that convince me that this is the way I ought to go. If you think your call was from men, you're going to end up serving men. But that's not the way Paul operated. Look in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. He said, "For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ.
But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me was not after man, for neither received I it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul's call, Paul's ministry, Paul's message came from the Lord. And because of that, because Paul was so very clear that it was God who called him, he was also clear on this issue, that he wasn't out serving man. He was out to serve the Lord. And I think that's a very healthy attitude for a minister of Christ to have today. In a very real sense, God has not called me to minister to you. That's a secondary sense. My primary call is to minister to Jesus Christ, to serve Him. There will be times when the people and serving people and serving God may be at opposite ends. A minister of the gospel has to be absolutely clear that he is here to serve Christ. And if the people don't like it, so be it. Unfortunately, church leaders today seem to have lost sight of this. And the end result of that is a man-centered ministry. Men hire you so you feel obligated to say what men want you to say or do what men want you to do in spite of what the Bible says. And there's a huge difference. Men often look for the wrong qualities in calling a pastor. Read through the Bible. Hasn't that always been the case? Men look, well, I want a great orator. Well, who was God's call? He called Moses. And Moses said, I don't speak well. I'm not eloquent. It wasn't man's choice, but that's the man God chose. Or men like somebody who's really popular with the people. God chose Jeremiah. The people put him in a slime pit. But he was God's choice. Or men might say, well, let's call a man who's really great at winning lots of souls. Who did God use? He used a man like Noah. One only his family. No one else wanted to listen to him. Or men like a man who is tall, dark, and handsome, who can command a great presence in a group of people. They want somebody like King Saul, when ruddy little David was God's choice. You see, men look at the outward appearance. And very often men make decisions based on talent, on outward appearance, on things that seem so appealing to men, where God doesn't consider that. God looks at the heart. So if I get sick and die, be careful in choosing my replacement. Well, wait till I get sick and die before you replace me, please. The Bible tells us what's important to God. And these principles, these characteristics ought to be important to us. Now back in Colossians 1, Paul says, he introduces himself as Paul, an apostle. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And thirdly, he introduces himself as Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. And that's what I'd like for us to focus on now. It was God's will for Paul to be an apostle. The word will here means that which was purposed by God, or God's intent, God's design, God's determination. It was the desire of God's heart for Paul to be a sent one of Jesus Christ. He was an apostle because it was God's will, not because men chose him or selected him. He was an apostle because God so planned it and designed it. God intended it. This was God's purpose for his life. God wanted him to be so. Saul used to be a Pharisee. That was his old position. But God saved him. And God delivered him from that. And God didn't want him to be that anymore. God sent him out as a representative of Jesus Christ. And we read in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that God ordained him as an apostle. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 1 that God appointed him to be a preacher and an apostle. This was the will of God. In fact, we see this in Colossians 1:1. We see the exact same Greek construction in four different letters. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Exactly the same construction in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Ephesians, and 2 Timothy. And here. So I guess that makes 5, not 4. Paul did not become an apostle. He didn't change from being a Pharisee to an apostle for the reasons that men often use. He wasn't looking for a career change. It wasn't just that a position became available for him and he thought maybe he'd like to change. It wasn't that there was a felt need and Paul felt obligated to fill that void. Men didn't convince him to become an apostle. His family hadn't groomed him for that job. It wasn't that this was more satisfying or lucrative in that sense. It wasn't that the job description was very appealing to Paul. You read his job description in 2 Corinthians. This was not a matter of personal ambition on the Apostle Paul's part. It wasn't that he became disenchanted with his life as a Pharisee. It wasn't that he lost his fire in his belly for his old job and just needed a new environment. He was an apostle by the will of God, and that's the only reason given. And that's sufficient. Paul lived and died by the will of God. Paul lived in such a way that God's will became his will. His will was merged together with the will of his Father. And that's exactly what God wants in all of our lives. That our hearts would be so changed that we would will what God wills for us, whatever that might be. The very first thing Paul tells the believers in Colossae is that he is an apostle because of God's will. You know, you think of our own personal lives. I hope every one of us here as Christians can say about our job, I work at such and such a place because this is God's will for my life. God led and guided and directed me here, and he's since confirmed it to me that this is God's will for me. And I'm pleased and content to be here. Maybe your ministry in the local church. I hope everybody is able to say, I'm serving in such and such a ministry because this is God's will for me right now. Or I've decided to go to such and such a school next fall because this is God's will for me. I've prayed about it. He's led me. He's opened the door. He's guided me. He has confirmed it. You know, this is essential in living the Christian life. Walking in obedience and in submission and in sync with the will of our Heavenly Father. But you know, the Apostle Paul was willing to do God's will. But more importantly, he was willing to suffer in order to do God's will. Turn to Acts chapter 9 again. We don't often think of this in conjunction with God's will. We often think if we're walking in the middle of God's will, then everything will go right, smoothly, easily, trial-free, trouble-free if we're walking in God's will. In Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 15, when God called Paul as an apostle, we read in verse 15, "The Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." This was Paul's calling. He was chosen to be God's vessel of suffering. That was his ministry. God says he's going to bear my name, and as a result of standing for truth and righteousness and holiness, he's going to pay a dear price. He's going to suffer wherever he goes. His calling was not to celebrity status. It was viewed by the world as scum. And wherever Paul went, he was a representative of one who was hated by the world, crucified by the world, and here was Paul, his representative. That's what it means to follow the Lord today. He is not liked any more in our day and age than he was in the generation that put him to death. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered a shipwreck, a night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, weariness, painfulness, watchings often, hunger and thirst, fastings often, cold and nakedness. And besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care or the burden of the churches. This was what God called Paul to. He was an apostle. He was sent to bear the name before a world that hated his Savior. He was whipped, he was beaten, he was humiliated, he was imprisoned, he was slandered, and the list goes on. You see, Paul never had the opportunity to walk with Jesus when the multitudes came out to hear Jesus. Paul never knew the Lord Jesus in his days of popularity when crowds and throngs came to be healed and hear him teach. Paul only knew the Savior that was crucified, despised and rejected of men. Walking in the will of God does not mean we live happily ever after. It didn't mean that for Paul. It didn't mean that for Daniel. It didn't mean that for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It didn't mean it for Jesus. It didn't mean it for Joseph. And it won't mean it for us either. We are called and sent out into a world to represent a Savior who's hated by that world. And if they persecuted the Savior, they're going to persecute us. And let's take this a step further. What we are by the will of God. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 12. Walking in the will of God means suffering for righteousness' sake. Walking in the will of God sometimes means walking with a broken heart. Walking in the will of God means that sometimes we're going to be inflicted with some terrible disease or some awful tragedy in life or maybe a car accident. Does it mean that we're out of the will of God? No. I love the words in 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 24. When Rehoboam just lost his kingdom. Here was a man who just lost the kingdom. Israel was torn in half, a bloodless, but a civil war. Brethren against brethren. And then after the nation was divided, Rehoboam gathered his troops together and he was going to fight against it. He was trying to fight against God's will. And God says no. Verse 24, thus saith the Lord, ye shall not go up, nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Return every man to his house, for this thing is from me. And they hearkened, therefore, to the word of the Lord, and returned to depart according to the word of the Lord. Here was a horrible tragedy. The nation was divided, brethren against brethren. And now Rehoboam sought to reverse God's will. And the Lord said, no, don't fight against it. This thing is from me. God made Rehoboam swallow that bitter pill and realize that walking in the will of God often involves some suffering. This civil war was God's will for the nation at that time. You know, sometimes God's will for our lives is difficult to swallow, just as it was for Rehoboam. He never would have chosen this. This was a tragedy that he never would have wished upon himself or his people, but it happened. God's will for Paul as an apostle involves suffering, shipwreck, stoned, beaten, imprisonment, nakedness, persecution everywhere he went. And yet, in spite of all the suffering that the Apostle Paul went through, he could have rest in his heart knowing that this thing was from the Lord. That he was in the center of God's will. That he was walking with God, and if bad things happened, then let them happen. He wasn't going to swerve his faith from the Lord. He had this message from Christ: I will show you what great things you will suffer for my name's sake. Paul didn't fight against it. Paul learned to submit to this suffering. Paul learned that God's will includes much suffering. If you love righteousness, that's going to mean suffering in a world filled with unrighteousness. Look in 1 Peter chapter 4. In verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Some would conclude that if we're in the will of God, then there's no suffering. If we're in the will of God, then things are going to work out smoothly. It's going to be sunshine and roses all along the way. But notice how Peter words this here. He says, there are going to be those who are in the will of God and are still suffering. Now, not suffering as a murderer, verse 15, or a thief or an evildoer. They're suffering because they're saved. They're suffering because they love righteousness, they love the truth, and they have to stand against it in an evil world. And as a result, this is going to mean that those who are in the will of God will suffer. And God tells us what to do in those circumstances. Commit your soul to him. He loves you. He's a faithful Creator. He isn't going to cast us away. Doesn't mean because things go haywire in our lives that we're out of the will of God. It means that God wants us to cast ourselves on his feet once again in reliance and faith and trust. And learn that he's the God of all comfort. When we walk with the Lord and follow his will, there are going to be folks who oppose us. And there are going to be folks that will oppose. And we're going to need to learn that sometimes this suffering is from the Lord. This thing is from me. The Lord Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, be ready to pick up a cross. If we're going to be willing to follow the one who is despised and rejected of men, if we're going to follow one who was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, then we better get ready. We better get prepared to bear that sorrow and grief in our lives as well. Paul was an apostle by the will of God. His apostleship was going to prove to be a most difficult task. He was going to minister in a world that hated what he was doing. And not only so, but he was going to minister in congregations of believers who didn't like what he was doing either. And he carried a burden on his heart every day. Why? Because he loved the Lord. Because he loved righteousness. He suffered unimaginably as an apostle. This is what God called him to. You know, you think he was called as an apostle. It wasn't some high and lofty position that everybody looked up to and admired, and it made life so much easier for him. No, it was a difficult thing. The world looked up to that as scum. And Paul bore the brunt of their hatred throughout his days. Do you think Paul would have accepted the position of an apostle if he had 2 Corinthians 11 to read ahead of time? I don't know. If he knew all of the suffering that God had in store for him, maybe he would have said, you know, maybe being a Pharisee is not such a bad idea after all. Maybe I don't want to go that route. But God doesn't work that way. God doesn't reveal to us all the grief and all the heartaches and all the suffering that life is going to bring us down the road till we get there. He doesn't reveal of these things. He doesn't put burdens on our shoulders until we're able to bear them. He waits until we grow, until we're mature, until we're able to handle it. And all along the way, God gives sufficient grace, step by step by step by step. Strength for each day. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. And the Apostle Paul is a perfect illustration of one who lived that. It wasn't a cushy position to which Paul was called. It was a life of suffering for Jesus Christ. Paul didn't have any idea of all of that which would be involved in it, of all the nights he'd spend in prison, of all the times he'd be beaten and whipped and chased out of one city and another. It might have been a burden unbearable to think about it all at once. And our lives aren't any different. Thank God he doesn't tell me all the troubles I'm going to face next year and the year after that. I might run this way. But God gives grace sufficient each step along the way. And those that love the Lord will follow. Those that love the Lord Jesus Christ are going to trust in Him and are going to discover that His grace is sufficient and that His love is overflowing and that His power is going to enable me to face whatever kinds of difficulties God has lined up for the tomorrows. And all along the way, as we experience this grief and trials and troubles and following the Lord Jesus Christ, our faith is becoming strengthened. And we're learning that God's grace and strength was able to bring me through that trial. It'll be able to bring me through this trial. It will bring me through the next one. His grace is sufficient. Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. The will of God is not a fun thing always, but it's always the right way to go. And what a great Savior we have, who doesn't just push us down the straight and narrow way. He goes with us. In fact, He's in us. Doesn't get any closer than that. Christ in you, the hope of glory. In our final Roman numeral, we're going to have to look at this evening. So come back this evening. We're going to look at the Apostle Paul as a unique apostle among all the others. Let's close in prayer. Our God and our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the example of Paul. And Father, we thank You for the revelation of Your will for our lives. We know, Lord, that there are many difficult issues in life to face, but we also recognize that our Savior and Your grace are sufficient. Lord, help us to learn to trust in You through life's journey. Help us, Lord, to walk by faith. And we pray that our focus, our attention would be on Christ and things above, that we might be changed into His image along the way, and that Christ might be magnified through our lives. And Lord, we pray for any here today who have never accepted Christ as their personal Savior, that You might use something that was said to convict their soul and to draw them to the Savior, that they might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. We thank You for so great salvation. We thank You, Lord, for each day that You give us to live for You. And Father, we just ask now that You would dismiss us with Your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.